rolling in. This is right on the tail end of Stating the Obvious 172 as far as recording goes. So if you're listening to this one, you might want to go back and listen to the previous one. They're not necessarily dovetailed together, but I'm going to continue some of the trends and inside jokes from that episode. Oh, here's another article about the thing I just finished up with, about the Eric Menez, or however you pronounce his name. Like I said, I'm fucking it up. Yeah, you can scream and shout and whine and cry and sniffle and piss and moan. And you shove your opinion up your ass so Obama's cock has something to keep it company. And as we all know by now, it's the third option. You are wrong, and I am right. Thank you very much. Yes, yada, yada, yada. It's just me here in the studio today. Randy's not here. I'm working on the pile on the floor, trying to get some of this stuff sorted out of here. We're doing the pausing instead of recording all the way through thingy. Oh, yes, and I am the great one himself, founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society, and this is the Stating the Obvious podcast. This is the weapons platform, which I launched the nuclear-tipped cruise missile on my intellect, homes that destroy stupid people, blah, 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 blah. You can email me at god@cynlibsoc.com. That's God, that's dog spelled backwards. You can send hate mail, love mail. You can send pictures of yourself naked if you're an attractive person of either gender. I like attractive women. Randy likes attractive men. Randy's not here today. Like I said, she's left me on my own. And so, yeah, send me, especially if you're a cute volleyball girl. I need to put more volleyball girl pictures on the website. Fucking volleyball girls are hot. Anyway, what else? Today is still March the 21st, 2014. Yeah, so I left off on the other one talking about this woman in Texas. She is brain dead. But the hospital, the government, somebody, it's a little unclear to me exactly who made the decision, was keeping her body on life support because there was a fetus inside of it. Anyway, her husband and her parents all said that this is not what she had wanted, that she had expressed a desire not to be on extended life support, and they wanted to pull the plug. But of course, the government, the hospital, somebody who had ownership of this woman's body was not letting them do this. This article actually came out before the previous one I read, where a judge told the hospital to pull the fucking plug. What it says in here is this. I'm reading just in the middle of the article. Quote, according to the medical records we have been provided, the fetus is distinctly abnormal, unquote, the attorneys said. This is probably the attorneys for the family. Quote, even at this early stage, the lower extremities are deformed to the extent that the gender cannot be determined, unquote. And remember, what I said before is, again, these questions should not be determined by laws and by governments and by hospitals. They should be determined by families on an individual basis. You got a pregnant woman, and she's on life support. She had an accident. What the fuck happened? She had a... How the hell did she get this way? I'm scanning this article. Hang on. He found her unconscious. Okay, here. John Peter Smith Hospital says it's bound by state law that prohibits the withdrawal of treatment from a pregnant patient. Although several experts interviewed by the AP have said the hospital is misapplying the law. Okay, that's the first reason these decisions shouldn't be made by laws. Laws are always open for interpretation. We mean misapplying a law. According to whose interpretation? Okay. I'm scanning. Ha, here we go. The fetus is believed to be about 22 weeks gestation. That's what I said last time. You got a woman. She's on life support. I was about to say she's on birth control. God, my fucking brain. She's on life support. And there's a fetus inside of her. Well, first of all, what happened to her that she ended up on life support? It says she was found unconscious, so who knows? And we don't know how long she was without oxygen. That'll come up in a second. But again, there's a big difference between a 22-week-old fetus and an 8.5-month-old fetus. And again, if you really own your body, if you women out there who think you own your bodies, who think the government doesn't own your bodies, if you own your bodies, why is the government laws making these decisions about her body for her? Instead of her husband, and I know that her husband made a decision, that's patriarchy, but she's brain dead, so she can't make her own decision at this point. She's brain dead. Insert, you know, I had the big laugh in the last one about saying a brain dead woman because all women are brain dead. Ha! It was really funny. I'll probably bring the joke back. But anyhow, she's brain dead. She can't make her own decisions. So who makes the decisions? Her husband and her mother and her father, or the government? Well, the government does. Why does the government make the decisions about her body? Because the government owns her body. That's the society you live in. That's the society you created. You fucking feminazis, you statist, you right-wing statist, you left-wing statist, this is the society you fucking created. This is the government you support. This is happening with your consent. Let me go back to reading. The attorney said the fetus also has fluid building up inside the skull and possibly has a heart problem. Quote, quite sadly, this information is not surprising due to the fact that the fetus, after being deprived of oxygen for an indeterminate amount of time, is gestating within a dead and deteriorating body as a horrified family looks on in absolute anguish, distress, and sadness. So there's a lot of emotional shit put in there to manipulate people. But again, yes, the woman was found unconscious. How long did she be unconscious? Who knows? So how long had her body, and thus by extension the fetus, been without oxygen? And as they point out, so her body is being kept alive artificially. Can an artificial body, artificially sustained body provide the correct housing, the correct nutrients, the correct building blocks for a fetus to develop normally? I'm not saying I fucking know the answer, but I'm willing to say that I'm gonna hedge my money on the side that says no. Of course the plug should be pulled. It's a 22 fucking week old fetus. Again, we're not talking about an 8.5 month old baby here. But again, the government is making the decision. And even when the judge said pull the plug, it's still the government making the decision. It still affirms the fact that her body is the property of the government. January 17th, 2014, execution nears 25 minutes with a new drug combo. So in Ohio, a condemned man appeared to gasp several times and took an unusually long time to die, 25 minutes, in an execution carried out Thursday with a combination of drugs never before tried in the United States. And of course, the dead man's family wants to sue the state over the fact that it took him 25 minutes to die. Only the government can take 25 minutes to kill a person. But again, you people love the government. The government should make your decisions for you. The government should decide life and death. The government should decide how old you have to be to buy over-the-counter Plan B morning after abortion pills. The government should decide if pregnant women are kept alive on life support. You know, the government should kill people in foreign countries with flying robots. The government NSA should spy on you through your cell phone and through these servers set up to emulate fake Facebook, whereby they install spyware on your computer. Oh, the government should provide us with health care. The government can regulate the corporations. But the government takes 25 fucking minutes to kill someone. I was in the United States Infantry for 3 fucking years, and I guarantee you I can kill somebody in a hell of a lot less than 25 fucking minutes. I almost didn't talk about this. You know, all you stupid fuckers out there who think that without the government, nothing would happen. Because you know, nobody can do anything, and people all hate each other, and everybody tries to fuck each other over, and the whole Hobbesian, nasty, brutish, and short thing. Here's this article here about C.J. Twomey, T-W-O-M-E-Y. I'm probably fucking his name up. He killed himself. He shot himself. Committed suicide. He was in the military prior to that. We have to ask ourselves how much being in the military helped fuck his mind up. And his mother had him cremated, and her son wanted to travel the world. And so via Facebook, his mother put out a call to people to scatter his ashes in different locations around the world. She'd send you a little bit of his ashes, and you would scatter them wherever. You know, you're in India, or you're in Indiana, or you're in Mexico, or you throw them in the Atlantic Ocean, or you take them to the top of a mountain, whatever. And all these people have responded and offered to do this. And there's no government. There's no laws. There's no fucking regulations. Eric Holder did not magically discover a right that people didn't previously have. You know, nobody's asking, was he bisexual or homosexual or heterosexual or transgendered? You know, this shit just happens. When you leave people alone, people will do things like this to help each other. It's what people naturally do. I mean, I know that those of you who listen to this podcast probably think that I go through every moment of my life, you know, screaming about how all women are brain dead and statism and fucking hating everybody and not having any friends and never doing anything for anybody. But normal people, and I mean normal ones, I don't mean statist, I don't mean people who go into the government, I don't mean people who are police officers, I don't mean those of you who are sick, psychotic motherfuckers, those of you who are sociopaths, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about normal people, go out of their way to help other people. Normal people if given the opportunity to do so, we'll operate on the premise that if you don't harm me, I'm not going to harm you. And whatever you do that doesn't affect me is completely okay. It's like I said in the previous episode, we don't need the government to give homosexuals the same rights in marriage that heterosexuals have. Because the reason homosexuals don't have the same rights from marriage that that heterosexuals have is because of the government. The government isn't giving you anything. The government took that away from you in the first place. Government cannot, I've said this before, government cannot give you rights. Leaving aside all the philosophical stuff where I could explain how rights don't exist and we can define rights and all this other shit, let's just fucking take this at face value and use the term rights in the way it's conventionally used, like a right to life, a right to liberty, a right to get married, a right to have children, a right to own a gun, which, of course, you don't believe in. Why? Because you think the government doesn't give people that rights. You people, as statists, you believe rights come from the government. They don't. You have rights because you're alive. The government can only take rights away from you. And anytime the government says, you know, like now here in Colorado, oh, marijuana is legal. It isn't really. That's a long discussion we'll have one day. But all these people think, oh, the government has now allowing me to smoke marijuana. No, you came out of the womb being able to smoke marijuana. When you were fucking born, you had fingers, you had lungs, You had the ability to coordinate your body so that you could take a marijuana cigarette, light it on fire, stick it to your lips, and inhale. You were born, I mean, maybe not right when you came out of the womb, obviously, but as time went by, you learned the abilities to do that. You matured, and you could do that. You had the right to smoke marijuana simply by virtue of your existence. Now that the state of Colorado said you could do it, the state of Colorado hasn't fucking given you something you didn't already have. I mean, are you really that fucking stupid that you believe that the state of Colorado gave you something? Oh, this is hilarious. This is from my hometown newspaper. I'm from a little town in Texas. It has a population of 2,000 people. No exaggeration. It's more like 1,900 something. They are passing a law to ban sexually oriented businesses. Because in the little podunk town of Weimar, Texas, somebody's going to open a sexually oriented business. I feel safer already. Oh, this looks pretty classic. Let's do this. How Obama's health law measures up by the numbers. I don't have the date on this. This was not too long after Obamacare came out. 81% is the percentage of young Democrats who approve of the Affordable Care Act, according to a December poll by Harvard's Institute of Politics. 58% of young Democrats approve of Obamacare, which is in fact the exact same thing. Again, those of you who are Democrats, I know you think you're really smart. So 81% of young Democrats, okay, this is the Medicaid generation. These are the people we talked about in the previous edition of Stating the Obvious, number 172, that, what was it, 65% of them believe in astronomy. Astronomy, now I'm doing it, astrology. 65% of the Medicaid generation believes in astrology. This is the smartest generation ever, okay? So 81% of young Democrats approve of the Affordable Care Act, but 58% of young Democrats approve of Obamacare. I have to do math. What's 81 minus 58? Yes. 23% of young Democrats do not know that Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act are the same fucking thing. And yet, you're the future of America. You're the smartest generation ever. You are informed. And you believe in astrology. And I'm pretty sure that this next part has already changed because Obamacare keeps changing. Apparently, $95 is the fine for an adult who goes without health insurance in 2014. Oh, no, wait. Well, 2014, that would be upcoming. So it doesn't take effect on the taxes until next year. Okay, so maybe this hasn't changed then. $95, that's the fine for an adult who goes without health insurance in 2014, or 1% of taxable income if greater, maximum $285 penalty per family. And then $695 is the fine for an adult going without health insurance in 2016, or 2.5% of taxable income up to $2,085 per family. Of course, you're free and you own your own body. So it's entirely, you know, your choice because you're free. You can purchase health insurance or not for your body that you own because you're free. Except if you don't pay it, if you don't purchase health insurance, you have to pay additional taxes. But you're not the property of the government. You're not a slave. No, of course not. You are totally, completely free. And you own your own body. $328 average estimated monthly premium for a mid-range silver plan that covers 70% of medical cost. $7 million people are expected to sign up by the end of open enrollment season, March 31st, according to the administration's projections. Last time I checked, it was more like 2.2 million, I think is the number I saw. 7 million people are going to buy this shit. Nice try. Meanwhile, it says here that research shows eating nuts daily may help you live longer. Yes, if you're a woman, I can guarantee you that eating nuts daily will help you live longer, because it'll make it less likely that your man will smack the hell out of you and give you brain damage, except all women are already brain dead. Yes. I had to resurrect that joke. Whew. All right, anyway, in all seriousness, eat some nuts. Hello, it's called the Paleo Diet. I know. It's not veganism. Fucking yes. Eat meat. God, I'm getting hungry. Eat meat, eat fruit, eat vegetables, eat nuts. Get rid of all the crappy wheat-based products. Fucking cut down on the sugar. This is fucking some common sense already. There's a little bit of news from H-Town. That's Houston, Texas, where I lived for a while. City Hall struck a deal with 16 Houston topless clubs to eliminate private dance rooms and pay a combined $1 million every year to sponsor a Houston Police Department unit dedicated to investigating human trafficking. The deal also allows dancers at those clubs to be fully topless, ending a questionable infringement of expressive free speech. So remember, women, you own your body, but if you want to be topless inside of a club by your own choice in a privately owned club, those clubs had to band together to give the Houston Police Department a bribe, let's call it what it is, a bribe of $1 million a year. But you own your own body. You do whatever you want with your body. It's yours. You're free. You own your body. But if you want your tits to be exposed inside a building, inside a private club, that club has to pay a bribe to the Houston Police Department. Because you own your body, not the government. You're free. A bunch more news briefs from H-Town are coming here. HISD, that's Houston Independent School District, the government-controlled school system in Houston, won a prestigious Race to the Top grant. The $30 million will improve career training for students, prepping them for college and jobs. And if you believe that, you're an idiot. But with the good comes the bad. On a rigorous national standardized test, the HISD students have shown no improvement in reading over the last 6 years. Math results are promising, but we must solve the reading dilemma. The fact that they said math results are promising means that they're also dismal. That's why they're not actually saying what the scores are. The reading dilemma is called turn off the fucking cell phones. But these guys got a Race to the Top grant of $30 million, but there's been no improvement in reading skills for 6 years. Yes, public education, a great success. Speaking of HISD, in an action only a few decades late, HISD trustees voted to implement a new policy that will prohibit the use of culturally insensitive mascots. Said board member Rhonda Skilner-Jones, she has a hyphenated last name, that tells you she's a feminazi, quote, "We have to evolve. If we did not, I would still be called colored," unquote. No, you're called now a person of color, because that's currently the politically correct word used to designate people who aren't white from people who are white. Culturally insensitive mascots. You'll notice that these fucking cunts like Rhonda Skillner Jones don't have a problem with the cultural insensitivity of murdering brown people in the Middle East with flying robots. Why? Because a person of color is in the White House. Actually, he's only half person of color because Obama, as nobody ever seems to point out, is half white. Meanwhile, juvenile court judge John Phillips and officials with the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services have blocked a 13-year-old rape victim from access to her baby and legal help that could reunite mother and child. So if women own their own bodies, well, never. I mean, it's obviously, it's not like, you know, the government owns this 13-year-old girl and her baby and can therefore keep them apart from each other. I mean, no, that would be absurd, right? 13-year-old girls own their own bodies. They're free people. The government doesn't own them. God, I'm so stupid sometimes. What we need is more government, obviously. Speaking of government and destruction of life, let me read this to you. This is one of those things that, on one hand, this is admirable to me. I mean, I respect this man, and at the same time, I don't, because this is something I've talked about before with especially things military related. Such I've talked about how, as a boy, I see something like an aircraft carrier and all the power and destruction that it holds, and there's this level on which that's really fucking cool, that there's that technology and that much power and that destructive force and everything that goes into making a Nimitz-class aircraft carrier function, and goddamn, that's badass. But at the same time, it's this giant waste of human resources all geared towards the purpose of death and destruction and murder. And so there's this part of me that looks at the aircraft carrier and goes, man, that is fucking cool. And then, of course, there's the part of me that looks at the aircraft carrier and says, God, that is fucking disgusting. And this is one of those stories. This story has the elements of it that make me go, wow, that guy was a dedicated, badass motherfucker. That guy was a true soldier. That guy was a true man. And there's parts of this that I look at this and I go, that guy was an idiot. He let the government, he let the state completely destroy a huge portion of his life. And I'm totally going to fuck up this guy's name. It's Hiro Onoda. Onda? H-I-R-O-O. And then his last name is O-N-O-D-A. I'm just going to call him Hiro as I read this. Hiro, an imperial Japanese army officer who remained at his jungle post on an island in the Philippines for 29 years, refusing to believe that World War II was over, and returned to a hero's welcome in the all but unrecognizable Japan of 1974, died Thursday in a Tokyo hospital. He was 91. He spent 29 years of his life on this island in the Philippines, thinking the war was still going on, refusing to surrender and holding out. And on one hand, it's like, wow, what? I sound like a feminist. Wow, just wow. What a fucking, what dedication. I mean, what giant fucking balls. What determination. And yet he did that in the service of the state. He did that in the service of killing other people. He did that in the service of warfare. Can you imagine if that kind of determination, that kind of fucking giant fucking steel nutsack, that single-minded willpower, that force. Can you imagine if that would have been turned to something like curing cancer or providing clean water for people in Ethiopia, cleaning up pollution? I mean, anything positive. And this is what the state does. It's just like with the aircraft carrier. As I talked about a few episodes of Stating the Obvious ago, can you imagine if all the resources, all the money, all the manpower, all the vehicles, all the gasoline, all of this stuff, all the resources that are dumped into the war on drugs, what if all of that was utilized to get clean water and electricity and refrigeration to people in Africa? But we can't have that. Why not? Because those of you who are statist, you want the war on drugs. To you, putting a black person, a person of color, in prison for having 3 marijuana cigarettes is more important than getting clean water to black people in Africa. Because you're a bunch of hate-filled, scumbag, sociopathic pieces of shit. I'm going to keep reading this. I'm going to read this whole thing. It's not that long, but it's fascinating. Caught in a time warp, Onada was one of the war's last holdouts. A soldier who believed the emperor was a deity and the war was a sacred mission. Who survived on bananas and coconuts and sometimes killed villagers he assumed were enemies. Who finally went home to the lotus land of paper and wood that turned out to be a futuristic world of skyscrapers, television, jet planes, pollution, and atomic destruction. His homecoming, with roaring crowds, celebratory parades, and speeches by public officials, stirred his nation with a pride that many Japanese had found lacking in post-war years of rising prosperity and materialism. As he related in a memoir after he came home, Onada's last order in early 1945 was to stay and fight. Loyal to a military code that taught the death that death was preferable to surrender, Onada remained behind on Lubang Island, 93 miles southwest of Manila, when Japanese forces withdrew in the face of a U.S. invasion. After Japan surrendered in August, thousands of Japanese soldiers were scattered across China, Southeast Asia, and the Western Pacific. Many stragglers were captured or went home, while hundreds went into hiding rather than surrender or commit suicide. Many died of starvation and sickness. Onada, an intelligence officer trained in guerrilla tactics, and 3 enlisted men with him, found leaflets proclaiming the war's end, but believed they were tricks. One of the enlisted men surrendered to Filipino forces in 1950. 2 others were shot dead, one in 1954, the other in 1972, by island police officers searching for the renegades. The last holdout, Onada, officially declared dead in 1959, was found by Noro Suzuki, a student searching for him in 1974. Onada rejected his pleas to go home, insisting he was still awaiting orders. Suzuki returned with photographs, and the Japanese government sent a delegation, including Onada's brother, and his former commander to relieve him of duty. I mean, this man had 29 years of his life. Not that the parts of his life during the war weren't also destroyed, but additional 29 years of his life destroyed and rendered useless by the state. Yet his determination is perseverance. What if he had used that for something else? And this is how When you people who think the fucking state, like, who's going to build the roads? Without the government, there'd be no fucking roads. Without the government, we wouldn't need roads. Were it not for the government, we would have jetpacks. We would have flying cars. We would have airships. We'd have something. We wouldn't have any fucking roads. The government keeps primitive technology alive because it serves the corporations. This guy, I've talked about him before. His handle is Troublemaker. I talked about him. He's the one who wrote the article about people on welfare should be dead according to evolution. He wrote a blog post a while back, which was brilliant, and he had this concept he came up with. I never thought of this before. He pointed out that young women are constantly fed birth control, you know, get on birth control, prolong having babies until you're older. Why is this? Well, because as women get older, their ability to have babies physically, it deteriorates, right? A fucking 20-year-old is a lot safer getting pregnant and making a baby than a 40-year-old. So what's the purpose of delaying women having children? So they don't have children when they're young, they have children when they're older? Because when you're older, you need more medical care. You need more reproductive assistance. You're more likely to need artificial insemination. You're going to need more medical care. You're going to need more drugs. This serves the pharmaceutical corporations. It serves the hospitals. It serves the medical industrial complex. This is what the state does. The state exists to serve the existing the way things are. Right? Why do we not have transportation that's not based on automobiles burning fossil fuels? Because the automobile corporations, which have been bailed out by your messiah, Hussein Obama, the most transparent administration ever, those corporations would lose a shit ton of money if the automobile were replaced by something more effective. That's why we still have roads. It's not that if there were no government, there wouldn't be any roads. There'd be no roads. If we didn't have the government to stagnate technology, we wouldn't need any fucking roads. The government stagnated this man's life for 29 fucking years. That was me crushing a beer can and pretending it was the state. Grrr! Hulk smash! Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who I would totally fuck, said Friday she's offended by a male colleague's suggestion that children of working mothers don't fare as well as children with stay-at-home moms. A Pew Research Center study released this week showing that women are now the primary breadwinners in 40% of households with children ignited a sharp debate on Fox, blah, blah. They don't. Here's the thing. Women want to believe that they're these great mothers and that they're so essential to children and so essential to childhood and yada, 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 and they're so important. But at the same time, women defeat their own argument by saying, well, I just spewed the child out of my cooch and then I drop kick it out of the house. I send it to daycare and shit. No. Children of stay-at-home mothers who actually have mothers who stay home and raise them and interact with them and teach them, yes, those children are going to be better than the children. Better in every fucking discernible way. They're going to be more psychologically stable. They're going to be smarter. Averaged out, of course, there's always exceptions, there's people on each end of the spectrum. But yes, these working mothers who never see their children, who kick their children in daycare as soon as possible, who have nannies, you know, there's always just people like this. Does she have a fucking kid? I don't know, she should have, I should fuck her. Megyn Kelly, if you're listening, I want to fuck the shit out of you. I'll fuck you. Of course, this picture is probably Photoshop and makeup. It always amazes me when women talk about how important children are, so then they spit out the child, and then they go back to work. So it's like, basically, you're a woman, you're going to get a job. You're going to this job so that you can make, let's just say, $20 an hour, so that you can pay another woman $10 an hour to raise your child for you. So you're really only making $10 an hour. And also what you're saying is that parenting is such an easy job that you can turn your parenting duties over to somebody who makes $10 an hour and doesn't give a shit. Better yet, you're saying that parenting is so easy that you can put your kid in a daycare center where there's one adult for every six children getting paid $10 an hour. And that parenting is so easy and simple. And yet then you women want to turn around and you expect all of this praise for being parents. Well, wait a minute. If parenting is so fucking easy that somebody making minimum wage can take care of six children at a time for 10 hours a day in a daycare center, why the fuck should you women be praised for parenting? It's obviously not that fucking hard. Real parenting, and real parenting can be done by the man or the woman. And now I've just implied that real parents have to be married. Yes, because you single mothers, sorry, I'm with Stefan Molyneux on this. Being a single mother is a stupid choice, and it is pretty fucking much child abuse. As the studies have shown, children of single mothers are more likely to be sociopaths, more likely to be criminals, more likely to have mental problems. They are fucked up. It's that goddamn simple, and I know this offends you fucking nasty-ass femistatist out there, but I don't care, because I hate you. You are destroying the lives of your children. You're fucking destroying them because you're so goddamn selfish, because you want your little trophy children so that you can say, look at me, I'm single, and I'm independent, and I have a baby, and I'm independent, and I only get welfare and Social Security and WIC and food stamps and alimony payments, although I'm not even really sure who the husband, who the father, not, oh God, I said husband, ooh, husband patriarchy, I'm not even sure who the father of my child is, but I'm an independent woman. If raising children is so easy that it can be done by minimum wage employees, stop expecting all this fucking praise for doing it. You single mothers are fucking ruining your children. You're fucking destroying their lives because you're a bunch of goddamn fucking selfish cunts who couldn't go out and get a goddamn morning after Plan B pill. Because Obama won't pay for it for you, and you can't afford it. You're not getting your free birth control yet. God, here is some sickness. Here's some fucking sickness. Diversity topic for passport to manhood. Club members from Schulenburg and Weimar travel to the Columbus unit for the Passport to Manhood program. Columbus staff member Robert Waddle introduced the concept of diversity, stereotypes, and prejudices. Members discussed how advancements in technology, communication, and travel to different areas of the world will provide a greater opportunity for them to come into contact with more and more people with diverse backgrounds. Waddle explained the importance of not categorizing people based on certain stereotypes and someone else's prejudices, and encouraged the members to get to know a person before making an assumption. Unless, of course, that person is a heterosexual white man who works for a living, then it's okay to make assumptions about them. Or if that person's an anarcho-capitalist and believes that murdering other people is wrong, you can go ahead and assume that they're an extremist. That's okay. See, those people, it's okay to make assumptions about. But when transsexuals want to go in the military so they can kill other humans in the name of Hussein Obama, well, you can't make assumptions about them. You need to just hold back with your bigotry. And this is a passport to manhood. This is not a fucking passport to manhood. This is a fucking passport to being a goddamn tool. Speaking of how stupid mothers are, or I guess I should say not mother, I shouldn't say that. That's not accurate. Speaking of how stupid femistatists are, this is a little chart here that shows that the United States and a couple of other countries are the only countries that have no government-mandated paid maternity leave whatsoever. Again, we see the selfishness of women. I should get paid money. Now, hold it. You're going to make a fucking baby. You have a job, so you're going to make a fucking baby, which is your choice. You're already going to get write-offs on your income tax. You're going to get your food stamps. You're going to get your fucking WIC. You're going to get your welfare payments. You're going to get alimony from the man. You're going to get child support from the man, whatever the fuck you call it, right? But now you also want to be paid money to not go to work while you have the baby. Jesus fucking Christ, do you want to get paid for the time you spend fucking also? I mean, can you women do it? Can you femistatist, not women, can you femistatist do anything for yourselves? Anything at all? Is there anything you can fucking do without heterosexual white men who have jobs having to pay you for it? Some more brief news from H-Town. 6 months after Galveston launched a controversial program to make drivers pay via smartphone or the internet to park on the seawall, city officials released figures showing the program, supposed to be a moneymaker, has actually lost $300,000. And again, without the government, who would build the roads? I don't know, but probably somebody who could do it cost-effectively. Only a government can lose $300,000 by charging people money via technology the people already have, their smartphone or the internet, to park their car, which they already have, along the seawall, which is already built and already has parking places on it. The seawall was already there. I know, I've been to it. The parking place is already there. The government is charging people money for something that already exists. It's already built. I'm sure it's not paid for, but it's already built. It's already there. And the government lost $300,000 doing this. Speaking of governments and why they don't work, this is a story of regulatory capture. Regulatory capture, for those of you not familiar with the term, is what happens when the government attempts to regulate an industry, but then that industry takes control of the government organization which is supposed to be regulating it. For example, when Obama put somebody from Monsanto in charge of, is it the FDA? I mean, the not FDA. The something in the agriculture department, whatever. Anyway, here we go. I'll read this one because I can remember this one. It's right in front of me. How bizarre is it that the Finance Commission of Texas, the agency charged with protecting consumers, consumers should need protection, that's another story. Why do consumers need protection after 12 years of public school? If public schooling is so great, why is it that after 12 years of public school, consumers need protection from predatory financial agencies? Why is that if public school is so wonderful? All right, let me start over. How bizarre is it that the Finance Commission of Texas, the agency charged with protecting consumers from predatory practices, is headed by the vice president of Cash America, a payday lending company routinely decried by churches and anti-poverty activists? Last week, when the El Paso Times asked Chairman VP William H. White about the $19 million federal fine Cash America has to pay for, among other things, illegally overcharging military service members and their families, he responded, quote, "You have to look at the individual circumstances as to what put them in that position," unquote, White said. Regulatory capture. You create a government organization to oversee an industry. Well, that industry is going to pay off the politicians to put an industry insider in charge of the regulatory commission that oversees the industry. This is not unusual. This is how most of the regulations in this country work. All of these government regulatory boards that are regulating whatever the fuck it is they're regulating are controlled by people who work in the industry that is being regulated. This is why it's not because without the government there'd be no roads. This is why, because without the government we wouldn't need roads. The people in the government who oversee the automobile manufacturers work for the automobile manufacturers. The people in the government who oversee agriculture work for Monsanto. How can you people not fucking get this? Oh yeah, 12 years of public education. I mean, how fucking smart can you be? You didn't have mothers. You were raised by fucking daycare workers who are getting minimum wage to watch 6 or 10 kids. Let's close out with some words of wisdom. The last thing I want to do is hurt you, but it's still on my list. I used to be indecisive, but now I'm not so sure. You're never too old to learn something stupid. Since light travels faster than sound, some people appear bright until they speak. Knowledge is knowing a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in the fruit salad. To be sure of hitting the target, shoot first, then call whatever you hit the target. Behind every successful man is his woman. Behind the fall of every successful man, there's usually another woman. And of course, this one's true. If I agreed with you, we would both be wrong. That's why I don't agree with you. That's why I don't keep your opinions in sight. That's why I don't bother with the other side. I'm right, you're wrong, fuck you. This has been a good recording session. I'm not careful, I might be able to do this more often without Randy around. Alright, I gotta go do other shit. So I'm gonna stop now, but I'm gonna be bringing this back and try to get this wrapped up. I got some time tomorrow, I'm gonna try to knock out some more of this shit. Anyway, word up to my homies, and peace out, dogs.